Hello and welcome to Right Through Now, the podcast that helps you stay connected with science and technology, international news events, fun stuff. All right, let's begin. So NASA's new Mars rover is about to spawn a tiny helicopter. NASA's Perseverance rover is getting ready to deploy a mini helicopter named Ingenuity on Mars. The 4-pound, 4-blade rotorcraft will attempt the first flight of its kind on another planet. And in the process, it will test a new mode of mobility that could transform the way we Earthlings remotely explore other worlds. The craft is currently attached to the belly of Perseverance, which landed at Mars's Jezero crater in February. One of the first steps towards setting the baby helicopter off on its debut flight came this weekend when Perseverance dropped a protective shield and exposed Ingenuity to the bright Martian sunlight for the first time. So the Perseverance Mars rover tweeted, "Away goes the debris shield and here's our first look at the helicopter. It's stowed sideways, folded up and locked in place. So there's some reverse origami to do before I can set it down. First though, I'll be off to the designated helipad, a couple days drive from here." Honestly, this is the coolest machine that exists in the solar system. I mean, there's tons of other fun stuff, and we'll get to that in a later part of the episode. But this is just so cool. All right, so you know how YouTube is just an amazing resource for when you want to learn something very quickly, you know, maybe grab some tutorials, find out if a product that you're considering buying is worth it and stuff like that. So ultimately, what YouTube is just a money-making machine for Google. And there's some news around that. So YouTube is always running experiments. One of its latest, testing an automated list of products detected in videos uploaded to the site. As of March 22nd this year, the test is being expanded to people watching videos in the US, according to YouTube. In one of its blog posts, they said, quote, "We are experimenting with a new feature that displays a list of products detected in some videos as well as related products. The feature will appear as... The feature will appear in between the recommended videos to viewers scrolling below the video player. The goal is to help people explore more videos and information about those products on YouTube." Presumably, it's a move intended to give Google its own piece of the incredible lucrative affiliate link market. So most YouTubers make money this way. They try to, you know, tell you about a specific product and they ask you to buy, you know, the product from their affiliate link. And what happens is they get a little bit of a kickback when you buy something clicking their links. And now YouTube apparently wants some of that action. I don't know if YouTube is just going to continue to become more and more unusable, but this move specifically is definitely going to hurt some of the people that are trying to make money off of YouTube. And this is a new avenue, and I know that YouTube provides a ton of value to the world, you know, with the kind of services it provides, everything from journalism to just people making funny stuff and sharing them with the world. And I think that's really valuable. But on the other hand, all this stuff about, you know, double advertisements that you cannot skip, yeah, that's just one example, but it's just more and more getting unusable, so to speak, at least in my experience. I don't know if you guys have an experience that's different. If you have some thoughts on this, feel free to share them with me. And I guess this is definitely going to hurt some small YouTubers, at least, who make a ton of their revenue from affiliate links. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but yeah, Google does what Google does. All right, so Discovery Plus is turning the GameStop Reddit stock drama into a documentary. Jordan Belfort will lend his voice to the David vs. Goliath story. The worlds of online culture and Wall Street finance spectacularly collided to create the meme stock saga. In the eye of the storm was GameStop, the ailing video games retailer that underwent a massive resurgence after day traders from Reddit's Wall Street Bets snapped up its stock to counter the hedge funds who were shorting it. The resulting stock market volatility saw the surging of shares repeatedly halted and spurred a congressional hearing featuring the drama's main players, from Robinhood's Vlad Tenev to Reddit co-founder Steve Huffman. Sensing an opportunity, Hollywood quickly greenlit several projects, but ahead of its competing movies, the meme stock phenomenon is getting the documentary treatment again. I'm going to watch this. This looks really interesting and promising. All right, so Facebook is being sued in France for alleged deceptive safety claims. You know, I don't think there has been a single, you know, it's slightly unrelated to this article, but I don't think there's been a single election in the past decade that Facebook hasn't, you know, interfered in, or at least had the opportunity to do something that is right, morally on the right side, but they haven't done it. And that is just more proof that you cannot trust the morality of corporations. Governments have to step in. Right, Facebook has been routinely accused of doing too little to halt the spread of hate and misinformation, and it may soon deal with a court battle as a result. The non-profit press freedom group Reporters Without Borders, also known as Reporters Sans Frontières, or RSF, has sued Facebook in France for allegedly violating the country's consumer code with a deceptive promise to fight hate speech and falsehoods. The social network claims to offer a safe and error-free space, RSF argued, but in practice, lets hate and misinformation spread. You know, even if there is a lawsuit and that is successful against Facebook and they have to pay some millions, it's not going to be enough because so far what it looks like Facebook, how they're going to strategize is that they're just going to change the laws or, you know, the fundamental algorithms in one specific country and that's it. I think more and more organizations, more and more governments have to step up and figure this shit out and, you know, try to get to the bottom of what Facebook is doing and the negative role they're playing, if any. Right, let's see. So Dymark says it's making the world's fastest three-wheeled EV. This is a fantastically cool device. I mean, I'm looking at a three-wheeled car from the front, kind of sort of looks almost Lamborghini-like. It definitely looks very, you know, what you'd expect from a modern Italian car almost. And from the back, it just looks like it ends abruptly. So it looks like a totally normal car in the front, but halfway around, it just ends suddenly, and now there's a third wheel. Right, so if you're in the market to buy a three-wheeled car that can go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 1.8 seconds, then goodness, does Dymark have the electric vehicle for you. The company's crowdfunding the Spiritus, a two-seater EV that apparently, quote, rides like a go-kart, end quote. It's hoping to reach 50,000 pre-orders for the vehicle, which has solar panels for trickle charging and a regeneration system, as well as Dymark's own wireless charger. Well, there's quite a few, you know, three-wheelers that are, you know, very, very cool. One of them is, you know, all the stuff, in fact, all the stuff that Morgan makes, the three-wheel trike thingy that Morgan makes, just fantastically beautiful and luxurious. And you just look at it and it just looks insanely good. Then, of course, there's the Polaris, I believe it's called Slingshot or whatever. That's just a pocket rocket. It's so fast already. I don't know who needs more power. But it exists now. I think the base price is going to be for something like $20,000. And the high-end stuff goes to for $150,000 or in the nearabouts. All right. So video really caught dolphins in Venice Canal this time. So you know how in the beginning, towards the beginning of the pandemic, there was just this misinformation that, oh, the dolphins have returned to Venetian canals and whatnot because nobody's using them and, you know, humans impact and blah, blah, blah. Of course, that was totally fake at that time. But now, really, two dolphins have been spotted. Right, so let's read the article. Two dolphins were caught on video swimming through Venetian canals near the iconic St. Mark's Square yesterday. The pair, an adult and a calf, visited during heightened coronavirus-related restrictions in the city. The sight was a great joy in a dark period for everyone. Okay, unlike fake reports of dolphins splashing through Venetian canals near the start of the pandemic last year, this week's sighting is legitimate. The dolphins were first seen close to 8 a.m. near St. Mark's Square. They hung around in the Giudecca Canal, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, until 3 p.m. Sandro Mazariol told The Verge in an email. Mazariol is a veterinary pathologist and an associate professor at the University of Padova who helped authorities after the latest dolphin sighting. What a cool job. Okay, cool. So, machine finds tantalizing hint of new physics. I like how the BBC just says, ooh, the machine, like it's just, you know, one of the things you have. It's like a blender in the kitchen or something. But of course, the machine that they're talking about is the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC. Okay, so earlier I said that the Mars rover and the associated helicopter, that's the coolest machine. Well, this has to be either number two or number three. Well, the Voyager is technically beyond the solar system, so in the solar system, I guess this is number two. Physicists have uncovered a potential flaw in the theory that explains how the building blocks of the universe behave. The Standard Model, or SM, is the best theory we have to explain the fine-scale workings of the universe around us. But we've known for quite some time that the SM is a stepping stone to a more complete understanding of the cosmos. Hints of unexpected behavior by a subatomic particle called the Beauty Quark could expose cracks in the foundations of this decades-old theory. Dr. Milesh Patel of Imperial College London told BBC News, quote, "We were actually shaking when we first looked at the results. We were that excited. Our hearts did beat a bit faster." It's too early to say this genuinely is a deviation from the standard model, but the potential implications are such that these results are the most exciting thing I've done in 20 years in the field. It has been a long journey to get here. End quote. So, there are building blocks of our world that are even smaller than the atom. Some of these subatomic particles are made up of even smaller constituents, while others can't be broken down into anything else. The latter are known as fundamental particles. The standard model describes all the known fundamental particles that make up the universe, as well as the forces they interact with. But it cannot explain some of the biggest mysteries in modern physics, such as dark matter or the nature of gravity. Physicists know that it must eventually be replaced by a more advanced framework. So this is kind of the effort to get to that more advanced framework. All right. Okay, so will trackless trams get traction in the US? So this is a fundamentally new method of transportation, but I guess there are already implementations in places like China. So it looks exactly like a tram or like a very modern, slim, thin train. But it's supposed to be traveling without tracks, so it's going to require an entire new infrastructure to be kind of planned around it. All right, so it took anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours to get to work 30 miles into Philadelphia every day, which is insanity. Now a Pennsylvania state representative, Sirisi, has been thinking about a way to reduce the number of cars on the road. Recently, their staff were looking at public transport options and encountered a video about trackless trams created by Peter Newman, a researcher at the Curtin University Sustainability Project in Perth, Australia. So public transportation is essential to reducing gridlock and emissions on the highways and in cities. Okay, what impressed me in China, quote, was that the ride quality was equivalent to what I had experienced on a modern light rail where everything is fixed on a steel track, Newman says. To emphasize the technological advances making these souped-up buses more pleasant to ride, Newman advocates officially calling them trackless trams. He's working to bring them to Perth and says they are being studied and tried out in Zimbabwe and Qatar. I think you'll find out that the next decade, the idea will take off very quickly, he says. It's going to be interesting, but it's going to be a little bit odd to see a train without tracks. It's the future, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so a space mission to clean up debris has set for launch. So Astroscale hopes its LSA-D satellites will demonstrate a system to recover unwanted pieces of junk. The world's first commercial mission, LSA-D, to demonstrate a space debris removal system. Actually, this is from the past, is scheduled to launch at 6-7 GMT on 20th March from the Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. So it's already been departed like a couple of days ago. Developed by Astroscale, a Japanese UK company, the mission will be operated from the UK's In-Orbit Servicing Control Centre at Satellite Applications Catapult in Harwell near Oxford. So this is one of those things that people tend to not know that much about. But, you know, the near-Earth orbit, or in fact, in orbit in general around the Earth, is just so much space debris. It's incredible. I urge you to just Google space junk map Earth or whatever. And, you know, there's so many little particles from old space missions, satellites that have broken apart, or, you know, leftover stuff from rockets and stuff. And it's just so much stuff out there. I'm saying stuff too much. But that's what it is. And it's just junk in space. Yeah, every time a rocket has to take off, you know, some satellites have to be launched or deployed, you know, these things have to be tracked. And there are several organizations in the world that are tracking how big or small these particles are. They have various equipments, some equipped with lasers, and they try to keep track of every little particle that's out there. And so far, I guess, hundreds of thousands of such particles have already been identified, and they're being tracked constantly. So when a new mission has to fly, they actively have to plan around these space debris particles where they can kind of subvert them and kind of find a way outside of their area of influence. And more space missions in future are going to be, you know, they're going to have to be designed with equipment that protects them from this debris, because if something is spinning around, rotating around, you know, going in orbit at 30,000 kilometers an hour, if that thing hits you, even if you have a really strong, sturdy rocket exterior shell, it's going to pierce it like a bullet would, but much stronger than a bullet, in fact. So this is really important. Okay, in associated news, NASA and SpaceX have agreed to share data to avoid satellite collisions. So yeah, as I said, many corporations are scanning this, and it's just time that people have to cooperate about this. All right, let's see. So Twitter wants to know if you think world leaders should get special treatment. I guess this is going to be a survey that rolls out, and we're going to find out in the near future. So if you have a Twitter account, if you use it actively, expect a survey to show up. It's going to be really interesting, especially with, you know, that orange person slash thing ruining the world for a couple of years. Right, so Rivian is planning to install 10,000 electric vehicle chargers across the US and Canada by 2023. So Rivian is the Amazon-backed electric vehicle startup, and this is really encouraging news because, yeah, this shares some idea of how big the infrastructure around electric vehicles is going to be. A lot of people still have range anxiety where they're not sure if they buy an electric vehicle, if they're going to reach home, if they're going to be able to make a journey outside of their regular commute and whatnot. So this stuff is definitely encouraging, at least for electric vehicle aspirants or current owners. All right, so China reportedly bans Tesla from military facilities over spying fears. Oh, how the tables have turned. So you know how Huawei was banned from most countries, you know, being properly, so there's not even full Android versions that are coming on Huawei phones as a result of some threat that, you know, Huawei is going to absorb private data and then share it with the Chinese government. So now that thing is happening in China with Tesla. So Tesla cars might be hot sellers in China, but don't tell that to the country's government. Reuters and Bloomberg sources say the Chinese military has banned Tesla vehicles from its military facilities over fears the EV's cameras pose a security risk. While the drivers themselves won't be in any trouble, they'll have to park outside the premises. That's just funny. All right, so interesting news. Apple fined $2 million in Brazil for selling iPhone 12 without a charger. Brazil has fined Apple nearly $2 million for selling the iPhone 12 and other models in the country without including a charger. You know, I tend to like certain kinds of Apple devices. I mean, I'm reading this stuff from an iPad. I have a MacBook Pro from 2012 that still goes on strong in 2021, 9 years later after it was manufactured. So I there are components about the company that I like, but this is just absolute shit. It's just, they lie and say this has got something to do with environmental protection and whatnot, but this is totally ridiculous. The Brazilian state of Sao Paulo isn't thrilled with Apple leaving the charger out of the iPhone 12 box. Tilt and Mac rumors report that the consumer protection agency Procon SP has fined Apple nearly 10.5 million local dollars, about 1.92 million US dollars, for removing the power adapter from the iPhone 12 family and newer production runs of older iPhones. Apple's move was a violation of the country's consumer defense code, according to the watchdog. So Procon SP told Apple about the alleged violation in December. Apple responded by reiterating its environmental angle, arguing that it would reduce CO2 emissions and rare earth mining. It noted that many customers already had spare chargers. The agency clearly wasn't satisfied with that answer. In issuing the fine, Procon SP executive director Fernando Capez told Apple it needed to respect Brazilian law and also common sense. All right, I ended that note. Thank you very much for tuning in. Until next time. Ciao.